Hello, everybody. This is William Del Pilar. This is Fired. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Fired Up. I am your conservative Latino, William Del Pilar, and we are going to talk the Trump versus Biden debate. I just heard Bill Maher state that this debate reminded him of Mike Tyson when he used to knock opponents out in 90 seconds, and there's a lot of truth to that. It was a rough debate for the Democrat Party. I'm going to get into details about it, but the truth of the matter is Joe Biden did pretty well considering he is a dementia-riddled individual. I should know. I used to work in the Alzheimer's industry. You recognize the signs innately. And when I saw him, I have to be honest, he was the first candidate I ever saw live back in the 80s, and I liked what he had to say, and I was a Biden guy until a couple months later when he withdrew from the presidential race because he'd been busted plagiarizing. All the things he said throughout the years, I mean, he's been wrong on literally every foreign policy decision. He's a vile, evil man who has lived his whole life off the backs of our taxpayers as well as the donors. He's made tens of millions immorally and likely illegally. Not just him, but his brother, his son. His whole life story has been a lie. And not that Trump is innocent either. When Trump first ran for president, I was a Ted Cruz guy, traveled the country in support of Ted Cruz, and I didn't like Trump. However, two months after Trump got elected, and I saw what he was doing specifically by removing a lot of regulatory bills or regulations, you know, regulatory regulations that was stymieing the economy, that was stymieing job growth, small business growth, et cetera, et cetera. I was like, wow, maybe he gets it. And sure enough, he did. He did. President Trump had the lowest unemployment rates at the time for blacks, Latinos, Asians, whites, everybody. And more importantly, working wages were growing. That had not been done in my lifetime to my knowledge. So I became a Trump fan. Now that said, he drives me up a wall with his lack of ability to control what he says or how he says it. And that's a dilemma that's haunted him. And, actually, I think he'll overcome it this go round. But let's get right into it. First of all, the Biden and Trump initial observations. Biden showed up, had a hoarse voice. They stated afterwards he had a cold, but then I saw him the following morning of the debate. He had no signs of a cold. So they were lying. He just had a hoarse voice. And he had that same old dazed look that you come to recognize from people who are suffering dementia. It's kind of sad, to be quite honest. You know, it's like elder abuse is what they say. Alzheimer's runs in my wife's family. I lost both my in-laws, her parents. She truly believes in her heart it was because of COVID and the mandates put on retirement centers of not being able to see your loved ones. With a father, he was a booster man. Every booster that came out, he was there on it. He was a loyal Democrat believer. And then one day, much sooner than my wife and I expected it, he just went too. But my mother-in-law, she went quickly. In fact, the residency where she was staying at, the senior centers, senior folks home where she was staying at, it's like she was okay, then she got sick, then boom, she was gone. I think part of it was loneliness, the booster shots, everything. But it was terrible and it was horrific. And it was sad, you know. So when I see Joe Biden, I just look at him and I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, it's just sad. It's just very sad. Look at him there. He just has that dazed, glazed look as if he's staring into a camera. And that saddens me. It does. All righty. I want to play my first video here for you guys. And that is to show you his dementia look on camera. Oops, that's not it.
My responsibility. I was responsible for this because I offered her 10,000 soldiers or National Guard, and she turned them down. And the mayor of, in writing, by the way, the mayor, in writing, turned it down. Oh, it's my responsibility.
Right there. Just look at him. Just look at him. He's in. He just has that dazed look. He's not with it. And again, I worked in the Alzheimer's Association. Oh gosh. I don't know, maybe 6, 7, 8 years and maybe less. I can't remember, but I was there for a while and I worked on the fundraising side. However, we interacted with a lot of the caregivers who would come in with the parent or loved one, husband, et cetera. And you got to recognize certain signs innately, that the side that dealt with them firsthand, you know, I'm sure they were literally experts, but I would see them every day and well, mostly every day. And, you just kind of learn to recognize these signs, you know. He had moments of confusion during the debate. He appeared to have a slow start. That's what you hear. He had a slow start, but finished strong. No, he had a slow start. He lost his train of thought at times. He would stumble over his words. It also shows America that the mainstream media, once again, the fake news media, was lying. They were lying at the fact that oops, I got to fix this here. Big John there likes me to have the whole screen lit up. It's much easier for him to work with because of my hair. So they had been lying, though, back to the mainstream media, the fake news media, and they had been saying that these were edited and doctored up videos, and none of them were edited. What happened with one video is he was at Normandy with the in France in terms of the memorial for World War II, and he wandered off, but he saw this individual, a paratrooper who had jumped down, was and he walked to him to give him the thumbs up. However, the way he walked to him, his whole body language screamed, "I'm lost," and he sees a guy, and that's I'm not going to sit there and say I'm 100% right. Maybe he saw him, said, "Hey, let me go give him the thumbs up," you know. But the point is. They were using that as the excuse that they're all doctored up. They didn't say that, but you have to be able to read it between the lines sometimes. They were implying that. And, of course, their plantation overseers were out there stating that they were doctored and not to believe. And at the end of the day, it was obvious. His age, his mental acuity, you saw it there for the worst. And at the very best for the Democrats, it will be questioned. At worst, we will assume that it is what it is. It's a sad case to see a man of that age still being used and abused for one reason, to maintain power. So I want to show you a video in which I think Biden just pretty much loses it. According to the individuals who watched it and the experts, he freezes.
Child care, elder care, making sure that we continue to strengthen our health care system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump?
Well, he's right. He did beat Medicare. He beat it to death, and he's destroying Medicare because all of these people are coming in. They're putting them on Medicare. They're putting them on.
It's like, oh, my goodness sakes. It's that was brutal. That was truly brutal from the perspective of that is common amongst dementia patients. They just lose their train of thought. Heck, that's common with me. But if you're a dementia patient, I wasn't shocked to see that. You know, the other thing about Biden is his age and his fragility when he moves and his appearance. It just screams he's not there anymore. He has, and just because I say he's not there anymore, he may be lucid at times. And I'm going to talk about the issues you need to look for or that talks about, not talks, but the issues that you look for, but how you can tell somebody has dementia. So overall, there's now concern for his age. Can he serve another term? I think it's obvious he can't. And this has led to discussions within the Democratic ticket. And we're going to talk more about if this is planned or not. To me, it wasn't planned, but when somebody's talking conspiracy theories, I'm like, wow, that one fits. And we'll talk about that later. but again, the Democrats are in a very, very tough situation. So in regards to the mainstream media lying, let me pop up this image of your over here. And you can see, you know, how misleading videos are trailing Biden as he battles age doubts. And then it's frightening Democratic voters worried by Biden's struggles in debate. Look at the date, June 21st to June. It's a week later. And that's my point is that the mainstream media has been lying from day one since 2000. Once the Democrats failed to steal that election, and they did try to steal it, just so you know, Al Gore chose to cherry pick Democrat counties where he felt he could find the most votes. It wasn't about making every vote count, but that's the mantra they immediately started moving towards. And since then, the media has been full-blown leftists. Full-blown leftist. So, Joe Biden, 81 years of age, does not look healthy. Donald Trump, 78. He's 6'3", 215 pounds, slightly overweight, but his mind is sharp, and he doesn't need help to get around physically. He's still golfing as much as he can, and he's a pretty good golfer. So, you know, his health is there, both mentally and physically. So you have two individuals. You have one who's been working for a week to prepare for this at Camp David in terms of Joe Biden. And then you have another one who really said he hadn't prepared. I'm pretty sure he did, despite the fact that he's saying they had it. But just to let you know, I did work at the Alzheimer's Association, as I stated in the previous life. There was talk and complaints, and I was angry about the two. I'm like, Trump, why did you abdicate and agree to these terms? And the terms were no studio audience, and the campaign could only have two people at the actual debate. And they said, these are the moderators, take it or leave it. Well, there were anti-Trump moderators. Jake Tapper has compared Trump to Hitler, and Dana Bash, I think she's, if I remember correctly, her husband was one of the men, 51 Intel analysts, who signed and said that the laptop was a hoax. That's election interference. I would hope Trump would go after those people for because that's treason, for lack of a better word. You know, so I do hope he goes after them. But after I watched the debate and I started thinking about Biden and his dementia, it dawned on me, you know. One of the reasons that the moderators were so mellow, they weren't pushing back. They weren't saying, well, Mr. President or Mr. Trump, you know, this is what the data really says, or this or that, because that creates pushback arguments. And then, you know, you kind of lose control. So I surmise one reason the moderators were so mellow, quiet, and soft spoken is because of Biden's dementia. When someone with dementia experiences loud noises, shouting, or arguments, it leads to agitation. And dementia, do not forget, dementia affects the cognitive function, memory, and our emotions. And individuals with dementia, they struggle to process sensory input. And loud sounds can and usually overwhelm them. It's what I call sensory overload, loudness. Again, think shouting, arguing. They struggle to communicate. Loudness causes frustration as they feel threatened. So it's kind of like you go into panic mode a bit. Emotion, loudness can elicit a reactive response. And that's not good in a debate or anywhere else. In fact, Biden says something out of the blue somewhere. It said like something like my butt or something like that. And nobody questioned them. And that's the ultimate joke on it all. It's like we're the only ones who aren't in on it. When you have a media that doesn't question something that's out of the ordinary, that's not done at a moment where it happens right then and there out of nowhere, tells you we've lost the media as our protectors. But so to keep all of this from happening, the moderators and every person caregiver, you speak with a calm demeanor. And the moderators did that. They also minimized noise by not having an audience. And the moderators, by not getting combative, that minimized and helped Biden as well. You know, and Jake Tapper also protected Biden. Biden lost it, as you saw there. You know, I don't know what the hell he said is when Trump responded. You know, he lost it and he was stumbling and bumbling and then he blurted it out. We finally beat Medicare. You know, Tapper immediately cut him off and said, thank you, and moved on to Trump. You know, and he tried to move on to another question. He didn't want Trump to answer because he probably thought Trump would come back with, dude, what's the matter? You know, condescending. But in Trump's defense, he was a kind man to him for the most part. It was obvious. And Trump held back. I think sometimes you can look like the bully and they properly prepared him for that. But Jake Tapper did protect Biden at that moment. And the final comment I want to make on Alzheimer's or dementia is this was an evening debate. And I'm not 100% sure, but it's more than likely Biden was closer to sundowner mode than not, or sundowner syndrome. And that's confusion, anxiety, aggression, and ignoring caregivers as the day wears on. And it's common in dementia. Somebody can become agitated. They can become riled up, angry, get physically violent, depending on the size of the kid. But it's called the sundowner syndrome. I call it the sundowner mode or sundowner effect. But I view it kind of as if they're just tired. You know, they already have dementia. They're battling that. And what people don't realize is dementia affects your body too. So they may be physically tired, mentally tired, and they just start to snap out. That's kind of how I look at it. You know, but the debate went on. The debate went on. So let's talk about abortion. Abortion came up. It's one of the Democrats' strong points. Look, I am pro-life, but I believe it's a woman's choice. Well, William, you're not pro-life. You believe that? Actually, I am, and I can be. What aggravates me about our side is we become lazy. We demand small government. But at the end of the day, we're okay with big government when it serves our purpose. You know, the Big John and libertarians always remind me that there's certain lines they don't cross. And it's true, but I also realize you're not in power, so it's easy to say that. But I give Democrats credit. They know how to hammer this point. And dear God, the GOP has no training on how men should answer this question. And that becomes a death knell. But Trump was pretty good at it. You know, he talked about when to have an abortion, and then he focused in on human cruelty, human vileness, the evil of what a human being can be. And he talked about Governor Ralph Northam. I always say, Governor Ralph Northam, because he's your classic white elitist southerner. And I come from the South. After we moved from Panama, we moved to North Carolina. And I know this. Those rich white old guys, that's to me where the term the country club boys or the boys country club comes in. You know, that he just screams at that, and he's been busted blackface. You know, this, and what I'm going to show you, Margaret Sanger will be rolling in her grave, popping that coffin open and running to that studio to give him a hug, because this is what she envisioned. Margaret Sanger, the creator of Planned Parenthood, or founder of Planned Parenthood, said blacks are weeds and weeds must be controlled. And when I heard Northam say this, that's exactly what went through my mind. All righty. This is getting around. No. He's in some, on some radio show.
Boy, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was.
Wow. What can you say? For those out there that may not have heard it well enough, what Northam was saying is, hey, after that baby's born, yeah, we'll keep it nice and safe there, and then we're going to talk to the mother. And if the mother believes she doesn't want the baby, she doesn't want the baby, they'll kill it. That's what he said there. And Democrats flew off the handle in denials, but the video was right there. So I think Trump was able to neutralize the Democrats. And of course it was Biden. Biden's dementia driven, right? You know, dementia filled right now. And, Trump did very well. Trump did very well in this debate. So let's get to, that was an abortion issue. And like I said, he neutralized it, did well enough. So let's move on. Let's talk about immigration, some ugly truths. And then what I saw the next day is a lot of Democrat operatives, race baiters, white, black, even some black supremacists, they were all on the attack mode. But there's some ugly truths, illegals and jobs. Let me play this little vid here.
Aliens are coming into the country and taking away our jobs. There's a reason why we have the fastest growing economy in the world. The reason why we have the most successful economy in the world.
Wow. He's saying our country's better off with illegals. They're not. And I'll show you why with another video here shortly. But at the end of the day, when Democrats or the Chamber of Commerce say Americans won't do those jobs, and that's kind of what he didn't say there, but what the Democrats always say is as well as the Chamber of Commerce, meaning they want cheap labor. Hey, Americans won't do those jobs. So we have to bring in some manpower that will. That's one of the biggest crocks and the biggest lies. The reason they say that and push it is illegals do it cheaper and under the table. And most Americans won't go work for at a job, let's say construction, that people use as a living to live off for unlivable wages. The construction companies don't care. And obviously the Chamber of Commerce doesn't care, and neither do Democrats or Republicans. The Chamber of Commerce has traditionally represented the Republican businessman. And Democrats, they just think they represent anyone, even if it hurts and kills their own citizens and constituents. But that's the reason they want them here. It's just cheaper labor, you know? So the statement is a lie. They don't make our country, our economy stronger. You know, we have more people on the dole. They use up services. The statement is, it's a lie, and it's evolved. It's evolved into what it is now because of businesses using them illegally. And the chamber pushing it. We've kind of normalized it. Instead of being aghast at the fact that they're taking jobs away from traditionally minority type industries, say construction, they've literally run out African Americans from that industry in some states. So it's, I believe, as do others, that if you remove the illegal, those jobs will be forced to rise in value, pay, and thus Americans will gravitate back to them. Let me show you this video here of the FAIR Act. This was a CBS News Katie Couric interview. I spliced it down to just the necessity. I don't want to get copyrighted or play more than is necessary. But listen to this guy.
There's no question about it. Now, I know you can say, oh, look at this guy working 18 hours a day for cash under the table. No American would do that job. That's because we have jobs that aren't paying a decent living wage. The work would get done without the illegal workers here. It would be done by fewer American workers being paid far higher wages.
Far higher wages is what he said there. He said what I just told you guys, and that's one of these economic experts, et cetera, et cetera. The problem is that originally these type of jobs were pushed on legal immigrants. Come in, work construction, work in the hospitality, in the service business, i.e. food, restaurants, etc. And eventually onto Hispanics / Latinos. If you go to Chicago, I don't know about now. It's been probably well over a decade since I've actually stayed in Chicago. But I remember quite a few times. It was the one city where it was literally 99% Latino. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Chicago. No. I apologize. Vegas is the city. It's all Latino, the hospitality. In fact, they have a strong union in terms of the Latino union there regarding that. But now, it's the illegal aliens that are pushing those jobs. And that's why they're pushing for the wages to raise up so they become livable wages. But that's not how a free market works. But they don't care. They don't have to foot the bill, you know. But the problem is eventually they'll lose the chamber because the chamber is okay with illegal representation for the business or illegal workers for the businesses they represent. It's one of those wink, wink type situations. But what angers me is the simple fact that you should be striving to develop an actual skill that can uplift you from an unskilled job, whether that's through education, going through a program where you have the plumber has his little helper, those type programs, to but specialty schools, like a 2-year computer school, 2-year nursing school. You want people to strive to better themselves, and Democrats aren't doing that. They want those people stuck at their jobs. That's why they fight for those minimum wages. Look, this is how life works. First generation gets here. That's the immigrant. That's not a generation. That's the immigrant. You know, they don't know the language. They're usually too old to fully learn the language. They'll end up speaking the broken English. But they're working 2 jobs. They're working hard jobs. Why? To get those kids an education or a skill. And then every generation, you're expected to improve. And that's how it works. Democrats aren't buying into that, you know, and it's power. I think they just want to lie to the poor, the uneducated, and they do it so successfully to gain power. Not that the Republicans are any saints, but they're not doing that, I know. I've never experienced it like that. You know, again, I'm not calling them saints, but it's one thing to sit there and bring in illegals that drain our resources, and then you want them stuck in a low-end, unskilled job. And nobody can tell me, no, they don't, William. Actually, yes, you can. They don't really have programs to advance them illegals, and they don't care about that. The only thing they want to advance them is the ability to get them to vote. They don't care if they're uneducated. Just, we want you to vote. That's why we brought you over here. Now, that's not a conspiracy theory. There's a lot of data to back that up. All righty. Let's get into race baiters, hustlers, and even, sadly, some black supremacists. So Trump, when he talked about immigration, and I have been saying this for years, I've been saying, look, if you're black or Latino or a poor white person, think trailer park, these illegals are taking your unskilled jobs, period, end of story. That's indisputable, you know. So these type of jobs, service occupations, hospitality industry, construction, you know, those are unskilled jobs. You can rise and be manager, et cetera, but those are jobs that people, the illegals who don't speak English, they don't need to. All you need is a supervisor to be able to talk to them. The business doesn't care. It's cheap labor. You know, construction, that's a notorious industry for wanting to hire illegals and running not just black, but white workers out as well. You know, so these jobs were usually originally filled by black Americans, Latinos / Hispanics, and lower income white Americans. That's what Trump was referring to. Now, has that been changing? Yes. Yes. And ironically, just like white women, black women are leading the way with higher rates of college education, entering the white-collar jobs. We have superstar athletes in the millions now since free agency began and baseball got crazy, who are living large because of capitalism, the free market. That's not quite the free market, these professional sports leagues. But my point is, entertainers, athletes, and everyday workers, from the uber-rich to the middle class or above, So that is changing. But the bulk of it, or a big chunk of it, is still what Donald Trump and I are saying. And the problem with that is, I've been saying, look, illegals, they're the ones taking the jobs. It's not just those illegals. If say it's a McDonald's, you know, say you have a kid, 16, that's where they're supposed to go to learn responsibility, to learn accountability. But then they lie and say, well, nobody wants to do those jobs. Yeah, because you're a terrible parent. You don't give your kid a kick in the butt, so you're going to go work here. You let him quit. I've seen that too many times, too. And here's the difference. Say you got a $12 job. They can get away with paying an illegal $4 or $5. I'm sorry, maybe $6, $7. Because these illegals are fleeing countries where they earned $1 or $2 if they had worked that day. You know, so even unskilled labor is a godsend to illegals. So that's what Trump was referring to, you know. And again, they send the money home. It's untaxed. And then they spend the money here. So that goes back to the economy, but it's not taxed. So we're having to foot that as well. So you have cities such as New York City, Chicago, Denver. Now, this is what irked me. So let me backtrack. What was happening is on social media and on some interviews, a lot of black leaders, constituents, they were coming out and saying, well, who are these black and Latinos as well? I got into it with a Latina. But who are these blacks and Latinos? Yeah, well, I just explained to you who they are. But they pretend all of a sudden that the only jobs they have are white-collar jobs. You know, like they're all living large. And a lot of them are. But these people were acting as if nobody's living below where most of us live at. So, you know, that was really aggravating me. So I just, look, I told them, you can go to New York City, Chicago, Denver, and hundreds of more cities, and they're begging the federal government to help them out because they're running out of money. They can't support these people. Crime is up. Murder is up, you know. And murder is way up by illegals. And be warned, when a Democrat or a leftist gives you stat, well, no, crime is actually down or less than migrants. No. You don't combine legal and illegal. There's a massive difference, period, end of story. And that's what they're doing is conflating the two. But those cities, they're taking resources from the constituents, and specifically most of them are in lower income neighborhoods. I've seen some Latinos, but mostly African American, and they're giving them to illegals. And that's ranging from money directly to these individuals to get started for months on end to taking hotels, schools, child care centers, turning them into places of where they can sleep. But here's the worst part. They got to get a job. They're illegal. You know that business owner is going to pay them under the table and at a lesser cost. You know, and black communities are revolting against it. You should hear some of the comments at the city council given by these poor and working class black Americans. And this happened in Latino barrios también, you know. But what irked me is, whoa, you're all of a sudden pretending Trump made a statement that is inhumane, and they were implying racist. Now, nobody said racist, but the way they were implying it, that's the role they wanted to sit there and take. Now, Representative David Trone in 2024 used the term jig, and you can figure out the rest, on the floor at the U.S. House. That's a racial slur for black people. Where was the outrage? And Ilhan Omar in 2023, it's all about the Benjamins. There was outrage, but not fraught by African Americans. See, that's one thing that bothers me. If I see somebody down and out in the gutter, I don't care what culture, what color, what religion you are, my first instinct, God bless you, mama, is to make sure that person is okay, to see if I can help out. That's how I look at every event, and I am not a saint, people. I can promise you, I am not a saint. But I was raised with you help others. You know, and it's cost me by knowingly helping people in business and in other avenues. But when it comes to an emergency, I did not have a career in the military. I was always going to get out, but my bosses thought I ended my career because I defended a meth head. He couldn't afford coke, so it was meth. I defended a meth head against my whole chain of command. at captain's mass, where it's kind of like, I guess, their version of a trial in the military, there were like 6-7 people standing all in one line. And then there was me and the so-called guilty individual. You know, it's, you do what's right, and it's cost me, but thank God for my mother raising me with morals. And again, I'm not a saint, but do unto others you would have them do unto you. There was only outpouring from mostly Jews and whites, you know. Then Representative Rashida Tlaib, from the river to the sea, another anti-Semitic slogan. In 2020, Democrat Joe Biden, this one blew my mind. You ain't black if you have a hard time deciding between voting for me or Donald Trump. Oh, I'm sorry. You ain't black. And then he went on to say, if you're trying to figure out the vote between him or Donald Trump, that was condescending and racist. And Charlemagne the God, he took it like a good Democrat would and did not say a word. And Larry Elder, like a few years later, came back. He was trying to chastise Larry. Well, when was your end moment? The end moment is when you realize, you know, that white guy there, you know, bad news, ain't there for Helmy, or he's a bad, they're bad people. Larry threw it right back at him. Well, you missed yours, Charlemagne, because when Biden said what he said and Larry spit it out what he said, that was your end moment. Oh, and he did not let that go. And it was a classic case of arrogance being destroyed by wisdom. And Larry Elder, you just do not argue with Larry Elder. He's one of my favorite conservatives out there. Technically, he's a libertarian, but I think he's more conservative. You know, in 2019, let's get back to Governor Ralph Northam, you know, admitted to wearing blackface in the past. There was not no black outrage. All the spokespeople that they defended, it's not just him, Howard Stern, Ted Danson, but because they're liberal, nothing happens to them and there's never any outrage. And in 2017, Hank Johnson compared Jewish settlers in the West Bank to termites. That's as bigoted as they come. Now, Hank Johnson is one of the dumbest men in Congress. He actually thought, true story, he actually thought if there were too many people on one side of Guam, Guam could tip over. People, I'm sorry, that man does not belong anywhere near Congress. You know, that man should have an unskilled labor job. I mean, that's as bad as it comes. And he is a representative of a district in these United States of America, and he is part of the machine of power, or part of the power machine. Beyond sad. Then in 2016, Hillary Clinton, Democrat, she called African American youth super predators in the 1990s. It came out, that's when it resurfaced. But in the 1990s, minimal outrage because she was a Democrat. Now let's get to Mr. Biden. In 1977, he stated he didn't want his kids growing up in a racial jungle. No outrage. This came back up when he was running for president. I'm not saying I want outrage or care about outrage. What I'm saying is that you have to treat everything equally. It makes me suspect I'm lying. It makes me know that you're not really outraged. You're just playing the race card to play the race card. And that's as vile and as evil as any racist out there to do that. And then again, in 2015, Joe Biden, then senator, referred to Barack Obama as the first mainstream African-American who is articulate and bright and clean and a nice-looking guy. Minimal outrage. You know, so when they were all of a sudden outraged at what President Trump had said, you know, I'm like, whatever. And luckily, that's how it's being taken right now. Whatever. And you're getting a lot of pushback by a lot of conservative Latinos and a lot of conservative blacks, the power coming from the conservative blacks. They're done with this nonsense. And Democrats are starting to figure that out. So let's talk about the Border Patrol. Oh, my gosh. Biden. By the way, the Border Patrol endorsed my position. You've got to see this response. I mean, they immediately came out and posted that on X. To be clear, we never have and never will endorse Biden. I mean, that's just straight to the point. And, you know, what part of the mantra you're seeing with the mainstream media, they're saying Trump lied, 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 lied. They're so, we're going to get into Biden's lies here. And the difference here is Biden is not a self-made man. He's been on the government dole and been bought and paid for by donors through various ways. He's never built anything, never done anything, always spent other people's money. You know, and like him or hate him, Trump became a billionaire. You know, whatever you want to talk about the seed money his dad gave him, it was not billions. You know, so, and he's crafty. He's lost. People like to point out Trump's businesses have gone under. Actually, they really haven't. Most of, if not all of them, because he licenses his name, you know. But anyway, so when I hear about how much Trump lies and I'm like, how much Biden's a saint in their eyes, it angers me because I'm not a Trump fan. I will vote for him and I support him, but at the end of the day, he's done much more for this country than Biden ever has or ever will. But let's get to a couple of Biden lies while we're at it, while we're here, all right? All right. What we're going to do here, okay. Let me remove this. I'm still a little new with the messing with the pictures going solo. You know, so let's get to some of these Biden lies, actually. We'll do that now. So Biden, no dead military. No dead military. Biden claimed to be the only president in the last decade. At first, he tried to say 100 years, but then came back the last decade who doesn't have any troops dying anywhere in the world. And it's just a lie. Let's listen to him.
A notion that we were, had a notion that we were this safe country. The truth is, I'm the only president this century that doesn't have any, this decade, that doesn't have any troops dying anywhere in the world like he did.
President Trump, I want to follow up if I can.
Am I allowed to respond to him?
Well, I'm going to ask you a follow up. You can do whatever you want.
Okay. I guess I held that one on too long. Well, we know that's not true. Let's talk Afghanistan. Let's talk Afghanistan. Afghanistan's withdrawal was started with Trump in terms of the planning phases. Then it was Biden inherited, and you know it was a good political move at the time. Hey, let's get out of Vietnam. I mean Vietnam. I'm sorry. I'm dating myself. Let's get out of Afghanistan. Don't go against the will of the people there. You know, toss them an acorn every once in a while. But there are reports and claims that intelligence officials had warned him about. You know, there were potential risks and consequences of the way he wanted the evacuation done. And I was thinking the same thing too. And the consequences were 13 dead Marines. Now, to be quite honest, he probably just forgot. And he's dementia riddled. He probably just forgot it. But I haven't. These are the 13 Marines killed. And here's what I want to tell you about these young men and women. They went served. They may not have gone there and liked it. They may not have even cared for their job. But they did it. And the reason I say that is I served. And you, that's how most of us are. I don't want to go there. Every once in a while you get a gung-ho. But what we all understand, orders have been given. Time to carry them out. And here's the other thing I want to show you about my world that I lived. Look at the color. Red, white, yellow, black. We didn't all always like each other in terms of based off our character. But it was never skin. Do you have that problem in the military? Yeah, you do that. It's so minuscule, though. But when everything hits the fan, you come together, you work together. And we come from every culture, religion, and race. So never forget that. When somebody in our military dies, they are true patriots. For one fact, we have figured out how to work together, get along together, and embrace each other in times of need. Usually in today's day and age with all these non-war wars, it's saving one another's tails. So the fact that he forgot really burned me up on that. You know, so why does Biden lie so much? Oops, let me, So why does Biden lie so much? It's his nature. Here's some of the lies throughout history. There's so many here that I'm just going to go through them verbally, not show you pictures or quotes or anything like that. But it's what he does. His involvement in the civil rights movement. He said he was arrested while trying to visit Nelson Mandela in South Africa. Turns out he just got lost from his group. Maybe he had dementia back then. He lies about his family history. This one cracks me up. He was raised in a Puerto Rican community at home. There's only about 2,000 Puerto Ricans who were living in Delaware at the time. So I looked it up. He grew up in Green Ridge neighborhood in Scranton, Pennsylvania. It's a white middle-class community. and the media never corrects it. You know, he lied about how he met Jill Biden. Jill, his wife, she was cheating on him. He tried to create this Camelot story. They were just cheating on him. You know, her husband figured it out once because Biden, I guess, has a Corvette. No, he had a Corvette. Jill's husband had a Corvette. When Jill's husband's buds comes in, hey, are you still with your girl or something to that effect? Like, are you still with her? Or look, dude. But it boiled down. He says, yeah, look, dude, I saw Joe Biden or that guy running for Congress or whatever driving your vet. Or that's how the story kind of went along those effects. But he tried to create a Camelot in terms of how they met. And this is even worse and makes him more of a scum and why it's hard for me to feel bad. He lied about his first wife, Nelia, and their daughter, Naomi, who by saying they were killed by a drunk driver. The truth is his first wife was the one at fault for running a stop sign that got her and the child killed. And he had to sue Biden to get him to stop telling that story. You know, Biden, and these are stories going throughout the years, not just recently, but through his career that started like in 1971. Wow. 50 years in politics, 50 plus years. He lied about his own achievements, being the first in his family to go to college. His uncle was graduating in the top half of law school. This is when I found out back when I first met Biden. He came to University of Wilmington, North Carolina to speak. He was the 76th ranked student out of 85. And God bless him, he passed law school. That's all that matters. You know, maybe they look at that at your first job, but at the end of the day, he just had to lie. So now let's talk about the big one. Now, John's going to get mad at me. So let's talk about the big one, the Charlottesville lie. Biden pulled out the Charlottesville lie. I'm going to do a podcast on this. There's an NFL insider I had a beef in. He ended up blocking me because he's an adjunct professor teaching journalism. He keeps spreading the lie. There's something about these white cuck reporters. You know, it just drives me nuts because they are not all of them, I'd say, but 80% of them. If I partied with you, went out with you, no, I didn't put you in this class. True, any of them that may be listening. But the ones that I did meet and I saw them, and I worked with over 200 in a 10-year span, used to travel, meet up with them. I was never really part of their crew, but we were treated the same way at the event, meaning we were seen as a news media. They were representing a news media. We were representing ourselves. But they're bums. You know? They're bums. You know, let's just get to it. Let me show you the actual video of this event. Let me remove this one. Remove from studio. And here we go.
I had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally. But you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists, okay?
All right, you heard it there. It's here at the very beginning. Well, he sits there. What he was saying was, look, there were people at this event who weren't bad people. I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists. In fact, I did make up that banner. Let me play the clip once more. Listen to it at the very beginning. He's going to say, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists.
And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally. But you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists, okay?
And they play that up, that he was in support of them. It's clear as day. The video doesn't lie, you know? And it's brutal. And let's see, I'm going to grab even Snopes, a leftist rag, came out and said it was. No, Trump did not call neo-Nazis and white supremacists very fine people. It's not right, it's false. There's a turning point that's happening as we speak right now. At this point, it's a lie they still keep pushing because Biden, I think Biden may have ended it tonight, but at a time, it was your go-to. You could always find the suckers for that. But I think Black Americans and Latinos and working class whites, I think they're all frustrated with what's happening and they're starting to listen much more closely. And I think Biden may have ended their ability to get away with it. But like I said, this isn't that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, this is the first time that we've seen pushback this harsh. And there's too many more lies. Okay, here's the ones, these are the ones, the other lies that he said. We're not going to delve into them, but unemployment, he says unemployment was at 50% when he took office. No. Unemployment was at 6.3%. He said inflation was at 9%. No, it was at 1.4%. And granted, Trump had some of the mechanisms in place that it was going to go up. The fact that Biden's done nothing to help the economy by removing whether it's regulations or getting the Fed to do something, he's allowed it to blow up to 9%. You know, he says his son Bo died in Iraq. No, his son died of cancer years after serving. Now, here's a funny thing. Now, his son of Hunter, who everybody knows Hunter, he had a relationship with Bo's wife after Bo had passed away. They did it for a couple of years and then he ended it. I mean, it's just a messed up family. He lied and said Trump during the debate that Trump wanted to increase taxes by putting a 10% tariff on everything. Trump has never said that. Look, you want a tariff makes it cost more for something to be imported and they'll pass that price on to you. But if you're competing with a foreign product versus the same quality American product and you're keeping that foreign product from being cheaper to protect jobs, this is what I tell the materials. Like you guys just don't understand the bigger picture. It's like they have this mentality of working in a farm, living on their own. No, that's not how it's going to be. If you work for any company, they're going to be tied into other companies because of technology and the way the world works. And this is how what happens is laws and trade and things of that nature. However, I'm not saying I'm right. Yeah, I am. They were even got into the golf game talk. Can you believe that? Biden claimed he had a 6 handicap when he was VP. However, this is funny. Let me shift pages here. Here we go. I'll read this to you. I'm a cart boy at Columbia Country Club, which is just a half hour from Washington, D.C. In March of this year, Biden came to play with 3 of our members who had connections to him. I watched them tee off. Biden's first drive was a 15-yard shank, literally only went 15 yards. They let him take a breakfast ball. I guess that's like a mulligan. I don't know. He then whipped and then claimed it was a practice swing. Then snap hooked it about 90 yards to the left. I don't golf, but when I hear the term hook, I know that's not good. I also caught them on the 6th green where Joe chipped on and had about a 12-foot putt. He walked up to it and just picked it up as if it was a standard gimme. On the 13th hole, I saw him throw a club after chunking his approach shot. He put a lot into it, but the club only went about 8 yards. When they returned their cart after a 6-hour round, nobody in front of them, I checked the scoreboard. Joe shot a 96. And for those who may not be aware of it, a 90 for an amateur is a solid core, but a 96 for a veteran golfer who's been playing for years is seen as very poor. And it also sounds like the 96 that he gave himself was more credit than he likely deserved. Now, this is just all fun and jest. And y'all, some of you guys are going to go, yeah, William, he was probably lying. He was just probably lying. I grant you that. But here is what I want to show you to help validate the Cart Boys story. This isn't from this event, but it's just Biden being Biden the golfer.
Did he hit it?
He went behind him.
I said no.
Oh my goodness. That's just a fun. I don't care about their golf. Nobody does neither. But that's how much testosterone Biden still has, even though he's got dementia. There's some hardwire back there that's kicking in. You tell him who you are and how good you are. I mean, that's why he lies so much. He's so insecure, he has to lie to make himself feel bigger or better. And that's why he said he had a 6 handicap, which is excellent to my understanding. All right. The ratings debate. Let me insert this image here for you guys. 1 second here, please. Let me pop this picture up. These are the ratings. Oh, man, it chopped it off. Let me make it smaller here. Ooh, a little too small. There we go. Let's see. I guess it's me, huh? Anyway, I'll read this to you. So overall viewers, Fox won the night with 8. This is just inside baseball stuff in terms of viewers who saw it. So Fox won the night with 8.8 million. CNN, it was the network's debate, got 8.7 million. And as you can see, ABC 8.7, or NBC 5.1, CBS 4.8, MSNBC 3.9. But to give credit to CNN, they did win the coveted age 25 to 54 viewer. You know, Fox, or CNN took that with 3 million, ABC 2.2, Fox 1.6. And the problem with Fox is their audience skews much older. Doesn't mean they're not making money. It just means you better be prepared to put up with Ensure commercials, vitamins for old people, that Tom Selleck commercial. You don't refinance, you do something to your house. I can't remember. But those cyber commercials, you know. But once again, we had another lie. And that's depressing, to be honest. Let me get that out for you guys. They combined these numbers, CNN did, where they drew 9 million and they said that Fox News only drew 8 million. I'm sorry. That may be the wrong one. Hold on 1 second here. I apologize, but the point was the CNN said that they had like 30 some odd or 40 some odd million people watch it. And they aggregated their channels. They combined CNN, Headline News, and CNN en Español to get those numbers. But had they done that with Fox's aggregated channels, Fox would have still beat them. It's even in the ratings war. It's like leftists just, they're lying about everything. You know, and we're in it. This is why government wants to control the internet. Now, today it's leftists. 5, 6, 7, 8 years could be Republicans. The rhinos literally are still running the party. Trump's a thorn in their side, but Trump's decision not to support Bob Good, a very conservative congressman, because of a rhino, or because he didn't endorse Trump. Trump became petty and chopped the knees of who could be one of his best and most staunchest allies in Congress to work with the rhino. So Trump is still, I'm voting for Trump, but you sycophants, you need to stop worshiping him. He is not a god, you know. But the point being is that, you know, these leftist networks, they can't help but lie, you know. So let's start to close this out here. I've been about at the hour mark. But those are the ratings. So let's check into the fitness and mental acuity. And let's get to, let me remove this. So who won the debate, I think, was determined at this moment. And there was a specific moment in the debate. And I showed it to you earlier. And let's play it again here.
The total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either. Look, we had the safest border in the history of our country. The border, all he had to do was leave it. All he had to do was leave it.
You know, the point being with that video is that showed he froze, you know. It showed Biden was incoherent. He was mumbling. And whether fair or not, you know, he just blurted something out that came out of nowhere. What I mean is, whether fair or not, is if people believe he may have dementia, they've got good reason to believe that. The whole country saw it despite the mainstream media lies. And that is why I call them fake news media. And the perception is that Americans now have is that his age has created this frailty and a loss of his cognitive abilities. They think he has dementia. You know? So who did win the debate? That's pretty easy to figure out. It's President Trump. Check this out. Biden in 2024, the first debate, got 33%. I'm sorry. First debate in 2020, Biden 60%, Trump 28%. Second debate in 2020, Biden 53%, Trump 39%. You know, as I said in the clip that circulated around for a little while, Trump is not the best debater. And he was arrogant when he took Biden on, and Biden didn't eat him up as much as Trump was his own worst enemy. In this debate, Trump was cool. And Trump was compassionate in this sense. I wouldn't call Trump compassionate, but he was compassionate in this sense. He saw Biden and what was happening, and he did not do anything to make the situation worse or meaner by acting like a bully. The country thinks 67% that Trump won this debate, the 33% for Biden. That speaks volumes. That speaks volumes. Now, here's something that's very sad that I want to show you regarding what most didn't see who watched the debate. You've got to watch this. So it's funny, before I play this, just to let you know that I'm not an Alex Jones fan. I don't watch his show, but I came across this post, this video of after the event. And I've seen it in other video. People have done it from their iPhones, from their mobile phones to the TV, put it online. So this is legit. And this epitomizes, my friends, epitomizes the difference between these two men, their cognitive abilities, their mental acuity, in other words, and their physical ability. Check this out. There's Trump taking off. No worries, no issues. Listen, calm, confident, no problem. I mean, look at him. I mean, he needed help to go down that little step. It's just that's incredible when you think about it. That epitomizes that's like the nail in the coffin. You know, the video of him babbling and being incoherent. To me, that's what got him in the coffin, and this is what kind of shut the nail. Now, how do I know this? They were panicking. The Democrats were in panic mode, and it's something that I don't know what to tell you. Let me show you. The Dems are freaking out. Politico. Dems freak out over Biden's debate performance. Biden is toast. Things aren't looking very good for Joe Biden right now in terms of both him and the Democrats, because it's not going to be easy to get somebody else in there at this point. A lot of legal wranglings, too, is what I'm talking about. Okay, so the Dems are in panic. Let us show you. This is Chris Wallace. This is incredible. I'm not a fan of Chris Wallace. He's overrated. His career is based off his daddy's name. So when your most ardent supporter, who doesn't care about bringing you the truth in the news, but attacking those on the right, when he bails on you, you may have problems.
Two of them decided after November of 2022 that he was going to seek the presidency when there were so many people who thought he should have turned it over to a new generation. And this has been, quite frankly, a car accident in slow motion that we've seen over and building and questioning it. And, you know, as has been pointed out, Joe Biden sought this debate at this remarkably early time because he knew he was losing and he needed to change the narrative. And he did change the narrative. He sunk his campaign tonight.
Wow. So he was just one of many journalists and analysts coming out and saying this. And then it's Washington. It's like a sieve when it comes to letting secrets out. And this is what CNN was saying that they were hearing already.
Into the debate, and it continues right now. It involves party strategists. It involves elected officials. It involves fundraisers. And they're having conversations about the president's performance, which they think was dismal, which they think will hurt other people down the party in the ticket. And they're having conversations about what they should do about it. Some of those conversations include, should we go to the White House and ask the president to step aside? Other of the conversations are about, should prominent Democrats go public with that call? Because they feel this debate was so terrible. They do say in moments in the debate later, the president got better and got his footing. But then at the end, even his closing statement was a little.
I'm sorry. No. The president did not get better as the debate went on. I thought he did spectacularly for how his dementia is. But before I let you go, some of the problems you're going to run into is one, they got to go to every state to get this change. They've got to wait to right now. Joe Biden owns all the delegates that it takes by the Democrat Party rules to become the nominee. Jill does not want to leave DC. She wants to remain there as first lady. So that's one hill to climb. Then you've got the ballot, changing the ballots in every state. You're going to have probably legal hurdles. Who knows? Maybe even RFK Jr. tries to do something legally here if they allow this change to happen in terms of ballot access. I don't know. But it's a wild and crazy time for the Democrats. They've got a buffoon who's going to lose in a landslide. And the other caveat is Kamala Harris's VP. The word on the street is, whoa, stop, slow down. I'm the one who's next in line. Because they're thinking of Newsom or Whitmer. And if it's Newsom, I hope so. Only people who think Newsom has value are people here in California because we've taken a beating. But Governor Ron DeSantis put him through the cleaners. He knew how to beat him, defeat him. What's happening in California is not going to sell in America. At least not at this point in time. Whitmer, she's a nightmare already. But Kamala's like, what about me? Don't forget about me. And I can't blame her. But regardless, this was a debate that Trump won and won easily. I was pretty stressed and worried. I truly think it's going to get worse for America as a country if we keep going the path we are. And Trump, economically, I'll say it again, greatest economy in our lifetime, lowest unemployment rate at the time for Blacks, Latinos, Asians, whites, first time, or it had been so long since I can remember, maybe before I was born, that working wages were actually rising. And he did this while still screwing up other things. He also never got us into another war. Look what's happened since Biden's come in. Inflation has skyrocketed. Now, let me backtrack. Trump's deficit growth, that drives me up a wall. and the fact he would always sit there and say, I'll vote, I'll sign this time, but not next time. The next time came around two more times or three more times and he signed it, you know? So he drove me crazy in certain ways like that. But look, since Biden, look at inflation. Look at the illegal aliens coming in, the murders, the deaths, the gangs, the drugs as worsened. You know, it's getting worse. We are at each other's throats. We're tribalistic right now. Everybody wants to be a victim. You know, so where I think the road we're on is a road to damnation, a road to hell. And Trump winning this first debate is a great sign, as well as the polls. Y'all may not like it, but you'll appreciate it when you're getting more money in your wallet. And that's why I think it could be a landslide, because economically, I think people are seeing past the Democrat and the mainstream media lies. All right. Don't forget, you can catch this show Fired Up along with my other show, Points on the Board, where the intersectionality of sports and politics comes together for me to talk about whatever topic is going on. We also have other political shows. We have other pure play sports shows, meaning that's all they talk about is sports, as well as my entertainment podcast, Red, White, and Rude. I just had a great episode on Doctor Who that's doing very well in terms of views. It's an ugly podcast because it's an ugly truth. And I'm going to actually have a follow-up to that. But you can catch all these podcasts at grumblingsmedia.com or our social media platforms at YouTube, Rumble, Spotify, Pandora, Apple, and Google under the profile handle Grumblings Media. So, my friends, thank you for tuning in. Do not forget to like and share and follow. That's what keeps us going. So until next time, my friends, I am William Adieu. Until next time, my friends, I'm William Del Pilar. This is Fired Up, and I bid you adieu. Ha ha ha.